Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Saturday, January 8th, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford, introducing the all-new 2012 Ford Focus Electric with voice-activated sync and My Ford Touch, featuring gas-free power, zero CO2 emissions, and battery management technology that lets you go the distance. Learn more at FocusElectricPower.com. And by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off the lifetime of your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I am Becky Worley.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Veronica Belmont.
And this is the show where we wrap up the Consumer Electronics Show 2011. It's the last of our Tech News Today, although the TWIT coverage continues with the Tech Guy and This Week in Tech later today, and the Tech Guy again on Sunday.
Yeah, so we're going to just tell everybody what happened here, everything.
Yeah, everything, that all the products, we're just going to run down one by one.
Yeah, good call.
Everything that's been
good
on the show floor.
Good thing I have them memorized.
Yes. Let's start at South Hall Booth 1.
All right.
Oh one.
We do have some top stories, some tech news that has happened since we did the show yesterday that we want to get through before we wrap up. Top story here is that the U.S. Justice Department has apparently served Twitter with a subpoena seeking information on an Icelandic lawmaker named Johnsdottir, who was apparently in communication with Julian Assange and the WikiLeaks folks, and they would like to have all of the private messages, all the direct messages, handed over for examination.
Yeah, she was an early volunteer, I guess, with the organization, but then moved on after all the sexual scandal stuff started heating up.
There's also some indication that they're looking for IP data in terms of finding out where these messages were sent from. And I think that the private messages are probably the biggest booty that they're looking for. And there's some indication that Facebook may have been served with a subpoena also.
And possibly Google.
Yeah. Twitter has responded saying they don't comment on specific cases, but their policy is to notify users about law enforcement and government requests. And they're prevented by, unless they're prevented by law from doing so.
I mean, has this ever happened before? I mean, is this really the first case we've heard where someone has subpoenaed Twitter for direct messages?
It's the first one I know of.
I think so. I would hesitate to say for sure, but because there's part of my brain that's nagging at me that they've gone through something similar before. But I don't think there's been a subpoena for direct messages, I'd wager to say.
It's hard to know if there has been from local law enforcement, but it's possible that this is the first one that's at this high level from the Department of Justice.
Yeah. Birgitta Johnsdottir, the person in question from Iceland, got a letter from Twitter a couple hours ago, the person said on Friday, saying that they have 10 days to stop the subpoena from being acted upon by Twitter. Twitter's basically like, we'll give you 10 days to tell us why we shouldn't hand this over, otherwise we're going to comply.
And just a quick search shows that there have been other Twitter subpoenas for information. It's just hard to know if there's any case that's ever been this high profile.
It's interesting, too, that Twitter Legal says in their note that they sent to folks, this notice is not legal advice. However, you may want to consider contacting the EFF or the ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, we're not giving you advice, but if you would like advice, these might
be
good people to ask.
And she's already contacted them for legal advice and counsel, which I think is probably the best move.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So anyway, it looks like the activity to ferret out more about Julian Assange is continuing, even though it's out of the headlines.
I mean, what's a direct message going to have, besides maybe proof that you were talking to somebody?
And it could have the kinds of things that implicate intention,
right?
And what was known when, timing,
or just proof that two people know each other.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing. Is it's a trail of who knows whom and how they connected with other people in this deal. And I think the big deal is also this is the first legal proceedings that we're seeing around this and actions on the part of the DOJ as they move forward to try and prosecute this case.
We also talked yesterday about the Verizon announcement next week. Wall Street Journal now reporting as fact that this will be the Verizon iPhone. So this is becoming more and more. If you weren't 90% sure that's what it was going to be, you can be 99%
sure. Yeah, people were giving me a hard time yesterday.
Me too.
We got the same guy.
Yeah.
Hey, guy. Fact. See? I mean, we've been talking about this for months and months and months and months, and we kind of expected them to make an announcement at one of the keynotes like last year, and when that didn't happen, we're like, well, we still feel like this is really going to happen, and now we're seeing that, you know, at this announcement. Why else would Verizon be making a big announcement right now? I mean, it just doesn't really make sense. It could be 4G-related stuff, I guess, but...
No, not really.
I mean, they could have made tons of announcements here at CES, but of course, Apple doesn't like to have announcements made for them at CES. They like to get the jump the gun on everything, and since they didn't do that already, I think that's what it's going to be.
John Pashofsky over at All Things D says that he's got sources telling him that Steve Jobs will likely join Lowell McAdam on stage in New York.
And the real hubbub online has been, well, why would Steve Jobs not do this in Cupertino? Why wouldn't he make this huge announcement? And I think the big deal is, it's not a new iPhone. This is not iPhone 5.
Right.
This is...
It's a carrier announcement.
Exactly.
Not a product announcement.
Yeah.
Well, then why not just do it here at CES?
Well, I actually think it's a classy move. Because in 2007...
A classy move?
I do.
Okay.
Because I think in 2007, when the iPhone stole the thunder of CES from Macworld in San Francisco, I think there was a little bit of ill will. I don't know. It just didn't feel right. Like, if you're gonna make your big announcement during CES, be here.
Yeah, but at the same time, they could have given Verizon the opportunity to make that big announcement here at CES, which would have been a big boon for them to have that announcement in the bag here at the event.
I think Apple would have stolen the show if they had done that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think it would have taken the emphasis off of the 4G phones and the super phones, and it would have been all about iPhone on Verizon. So I actually think it was a great marketing move.
I think they're burning too much jet fuel, making all the reporters fly home from Vegas and then fly to New York.
That was like, remember for the iPhone event, how awful that was? How like half
everyone
of
had to come back from Vegas to San Francisco and then back.
Do all the keynotes here, fly back to San Francisco.
It's our schedule, darn it.
Think of us.
Think of us.
People.
Well, it was so funny. Last year during my flight to CES, I was constantly watching Twitter to see the updates about the Nexus One. And the hilarious post from Jenny Jardin and from Boing Boing. I just totally mangled your name, Jenny. Sorry.
Jenny
from Boing Boing about the Nexus 6 and all the jokes about the Blade Runner. And then 2 years ago, I was following your Twitter feed from the Apple event on my way to CES.
Yeah.
And so this year I was like, what am I going to do while I'm waiting for the plane? There's no big announcement going on. All right. We should note, however, that this would be, if it is a Verizon iPhone, the first of our predictions to fall.
Oh, Jason Howell.
What do you mean?
Said
Jason Howell predicted that there would not be a Verizon
iPhone. Jason Howell. Come on. Not
2 weeks ago, Howell.
He's somebody.
You know, he could still be right.
He could
He's probably
still
not.
Technically be right.
But...
You're a good friend.
Well, dial down the estrogen, ladies. He's so wrong. Come on.
All right.
Our nurturing instincts are kicking in. We're like, oh, Jason,
you might be right. You might be right.
Suck it up, buttercup.
You can find out if Jason's right or not during the announcement, and we'll be covering it right here as part of Mac Break Weekly. Andy Anatko will be out there in New York for TWIT. Meanwhile, CBS News reporting that the Obama administration is drafting a national strategy for trusted identities in cyberspace. This would be not a national ID system, which is probably what everyone's going to say it is.
Freak out about.
But the idea would be a smart card or a digital certificate you could choose to use to guarantee your identity that would be government-backed. Still don't know if I love the idea, but I do like the idea of having a single ID that would log me into everything and authenticate me.
Why can't they just use Facebook Connect at this point?
Maybe that's what they'll do.
That's actually a good point.
The Obama administration has decided to contract Facebook to provide... Yeah, I don't want that to be... I don't want the U.S. government to be in charge of my single ID.
It's the next step, Tom.
Even less want Facebook to be in charge of my single ID.
Yeah, I go through more hoops than I have to because I don't want to use Facebook Connect.
I never use it. I do it now, all the time.
I liked using OpenID. I mean, I was using that for a long time, and now everybody's dropping OpenID for Facebook Connect, and I'm sad about that.
Well, the problem is there were too many ways to do OpenID. There were too many providers, and it just got confusing about what your actual ID was. There were links, there were names, and it never got tied into enough sites for it to start becoming like the common thing to use.
This is what I see. Oh, it's so annoying. My online ID just expired. I totally got to go down to the DMV. That's going to look so lame. I think I'm not. I'm going
to
pass.
That's because you have to go to the DMV on Monday.
I do. You're right. You know.
The whole government-controlled ID system just sounds like a hacker's paradise.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Pass.
That's a good point.
You know what? That needs to be pretty secure, and I'm not sure, again, that the U.S. government is the most secure organization in the world.
And even if they were, I feel like people would try to crack those codes even more so. Mm-hmm. Just to do it.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by, and actually our coverage of CES 2011 is brought to you by Ford and the makers of the new 2012 Ford Focus Electric with voice-activated sync and My Ford Touch. 2012 Focus Electric is an all-electric vehicle without a gasoline engine. This is not a hybrid. It's got a lithium-ion battery with high voltage capacity, higher capacity than the Ford Hybrid Electric plug-in. It's rechargeable. You can plug it into a 120-volt outlet or a 240-volt outlet with an upgrade. It does regenerative braking, so when you're driving and you slow down, it will charge the battery as you're going. Offers a miles per charge that's competitive with other electric vehicles on the market and provides more than enough driving power to do your commute, drive around town. Electricity is actually often cheaper than gasoline, so it may actually cost you less to operate, too, especially if it's charged at night when the rates are lower. The all-new 2012 Ford Focus Electric features sync. You know, we talk about it on Twit all the time. Voice-activated sync lets you keep your eyes on the road, your hands on your wheel, while you still play with your data, while you still play your music, while you still send text messages, answer phone calls, all voice-activated. It's the best hands-free experience that you can have. It responds to voice commands. Sync understands more than 10,000 voice commands in total, so you can stay connected. And you can learn more about the Focus Electric in particular by visiting FocusElectricPower.com. Thanks to Ford for supporting our special coverage of CES 2011. We couldn't be here without you, and we appreciate your support. All right, let's do our wrap-up of CES, and we'll just kind of go down the line in a few of the bigger categories, and then I want to open it up to anything you guys saw. But anybody see any tablets?
No, you know, I was really surprised by the lack of tablets at the show this
glaring
year.
Glaring omission. It was like, year of the tablets,
especially
but where
Android
are they?
Tablets. Yeah. Android tablets.
Especially in the central hall.
Yeah. Fitty.
Not a one.
Fitty tablets.
50?
No, Fitty.
Fitty tablets?
Get
Fitty
it right,
tablets.
Tom. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Fitty scent tablets.
I know, and he's here.
Well, no, he had headphones, actually.
No, I meant the tablet prices have come down.
Oh, well, the smart. It's very.
They're just
I
Fitty
didn't
scents.
See any that cheap.
No.
Okay, but honestly,
$300.
The Zoom $300. Looks pretty awesome.
$300 is $650.
Pay attention.
I was disappointed that I couldn't actually do more with the demo. The Zoom looks great, but
I know
still
people
don't...
who tried to get hands on with it, and they'd be like, "No."
But yeah, Leo actually accidentally touched a button, and the woman
problem.
Retreated quickly.
I got to touch it. The guy let me actually put
really?
A finger on it.
Because you have a friendly face.
But on the screen itself.
Oh, yeah. I don't think... I think it must have been touching the bezel.
Something happened and we got in trouble.
That's because it was just running a video demo of Honeycomb. I don't get it, okay?
Well,
I know everybody
that's
wants
actually
to see
what happened
like,
on at the stage presentation. He was like, let me show you one of my favorite apps. It's Google Maps. You can see it in like 3D, blah, blah, blah. Not actual 3D, but you know, the Google Maps 3D version. And he went in and he went through the whole thing and played the app. And then at the very end, it was like... little play arrow on the screen. I'm like, that was not the app actually working.
I'm totally unimpressed. I'm not impressed by that aspect of it. I thought it was a cool form factor. It's great that it's, you know...
Nice and sleek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No buttons on the front. I like that.
But I've been really interested in the convertible tablets. You know, I don't necessarily know that...
Oh, like the Samsung slider?
Let's see. The ones that I really sliders. Liked...
Asus had one,
Focus.
Too.
Asus has the slider. Asus has the transformer, which is the one...
more than meets the eye.
Yeah, it docks in, so you can pull it out in and out. Lenovo had their LePad, which is similar to the Linux one they had last year, but it has Android...
Well, LePad is just the tablet, and then the U1, the hybrid U1 is the one that you can pull LePad out of the laptop.
So it's a simultaneous boot of both Android and Windows 7. And as a tablet user, I think that's really functional because there are a lot of applications that I want to be able to use, but I would love the duality of being able to just use a tablet when I want a tablet.
I actually think one of the more impressive ones that I saw here at the show was an old one, the RIM BlackBerry Playbook. I mean, it's not out yet, so it's not that old, but we had heard about it and we'd seen videos of it. This is the first time I actually saw it running, and I actually, you know, I got to put my finger on that one too, and RIM has really done a good job with the QNX operating system. It is true multitasking. It's snappy.
Yep.
I actually got to, you know, flip around between apps, and it works just like an iPad. It's just as responsive. if you like that smaller form factor, I think it may have a leg up on the Samsung Galaxy Tab.
Interesting. Yeah, there were some that I saw from, like, Sharp, the Galapagos tablets, that I was just kind of not really that impressed with. They were running a version of Linux, and they could also run some Android apps as well. But overall, the whole feel of the tablet was not my favorite. But it did have this really cool prototype technology, that flicking technology, which is a terrible name.
Yeah.
But they'll come up with something better in the future. But you could actually flick media and content to other devices, either your Sharp TV or a smartphone. And it was just cool to be able to see it. We'd go, whoop, and then it would go over up to your TV and full HD. Actually, I think it was 720p, not full 1080p. But that was kind of cool. The whole content sharing thing in the home and in mobile has been something that's been really big this year.
We talked about this yesterday, that ecosystem seems to be the word of the show, in that it's not about one converged device to rule them all. It's multiple devices that share content and talk to each other. And that's what tablets, phones, TVs running Google TV all seem to be able to do in this environment. You know, my question is next year. So, you know, whenever a big technology comes out, and especially with tablets, the peripherals that start to propagate around them, really cool. But there's so much fragmentation of form factor. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to make, is there going to be a special keyboard dock for every one of these funky tablets? How are we going to see the peripheral market handle all the complexity of form factor?
And speaking of that, one of my favorite gadgets was that attachment that was a Motorola was showing off for the Atrix.
Oh, yeah. The laptop dock.
Yeah.
I love the simplicity of the name. They don't have like a fancy name for it. It's just the Atrix 4G with laptop dock.
Yeah.
So explain this if you're listening.
You drop your Atrix phone into a dock that is just a keyboard and a monitor, and then the Atrix becomes the computer that's powering that. It's got a touchpad. It's got a full keyboard. You use it like a little netbook.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like Folio version 2
in my mind. Yeah, you were saying that to me the other day, and it kind of turned a light on in my head.
Because the Folio was obviously a productivity device that you could do email and take it with you. It was mobile, but at the same time, the design was just really bad, and it was kind of like a midway device between phone and laptop or netbook, and it obviously never took off. But this is like you can use that power of the dual processor, the 1 gigahertz processors on the Atrix, and then just plug it into a nice form factor where you can have that full keyboard setup and monitor, and it's also battery charged, so it's not going to suck the life from the Atrix either. Mm. So then you can also do the output to the HDMI, so you can have it go to the TV. It's that whole concept just taken to the next level in a really functional way.
Did you guys see the Acer Iconia dual screen?
Yes.
Two screens. It looks like a laptop clamshell, but both sides are Gorilla Glass screens. So you can have it be either two visual representations of web browser and whatever other apps you have open, or you can turn the bottom half into a virtual keyboard.
It's got a 10-point touch system, so you just basically lay your fingers on the bottom screen and all of a sudden the keyboard comes up. And then if you use 5 fingers, it brings up this separate Acer/Windows 7 kind of GUI that they've developed together, so you can browse between content.
But I only type with 2 fingers.
Then you would have a problem, but it's super cool. I think it's coming out next year, and I loved it. That was one of my favorite things.
We were talking yesterday about remotes, having touchscreen remotes so you can have all sorts of different configurations with just one. Same idea for a keyboard.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you want to do right now? We'll just make the keyboard that you need.
You know, one thing, though, that I would say is fascinating on tablets is Silicon Alley Insider did a really good analysis piece of the different operating systems, and they showed how the triple E pad, the MIMO, starts at $499. Their slider, $499. Their transformer, $399. Their slate, $999. That $600 to $500 jump in prices is the one that's running Windows 7.
Yeah.
So, you know, their point is one of the big problems with Windows, with the Microsoft strategy around tablets, is they're not going to be able to compete in price point.
Yeah, because you have to pay so much for a full version of Windows, even though you're just putting it on a tablet, whereas Android, free.
Yeah.
I mean, there are costs to running Android, but it is not nearly the same as Windows. That's a really interesting point to make. Let's talk about phones for a minute. We talked about the Atrix there for a second, but these new super phones, the buzzword that Becky loves.
NVIDIA coined it, and Lance Ulanoff hooked us up with that. But I think it really reflects a new, it was either that or megaphone. So we think superphone.
I think that's the next step, is the megaphone.
Megaphone.
But, yeah, a lot of phones at CES, which we normally don't see phones. Usually the folks I know, like Kent German from CNET, are complaining, like, yeah, there's really nothing for me to cover at CES. This year, that was not true. We saw the Bionic. We saw the Thunderbolt. We saw the Atrix and many, many more.
Do you think it's because of 4G? Like, there's so many new devices coming out because 4G is, like, the next big thing.
I think it's three things, and I think that's one. For the speed, I think it's the apps, too, because everyone's got apps, and so you want to be like, hey, my phone is going to be part of that app ecosystem that you're talking about. And I also think it's the fact that the smartphone has taken over and dominated the business. And so instead of just having some feature phones out on the floor and saying, you know what, we'll make our big announcement at Mobile World Congress, they're like, hey, our phone can sit in a laptop dock and be a laptop. Our phone can operate televisions. Our phone is a computer for all intents and purposes, so it should be at CES.
Yeah, and wouldn't it be crazy? I mean, imagine, I'll take an example of Vizio. So they're launching their new TVs. They decided, hey, we're going to launch a tablet and we're going to launch a phone. But you know what? Instead of throwing those three products that work together out at CES and letting people see them in concert, let's actually hold the phone for Mobile World Congress.
Hold the phone.
Hold the phone.
Hold the phone.
Hold the phone.
And who would do that? That's just dumb marketing. So Sarah. I get it.
I was not expecting 3D to be as heavily pushed as it was. I knew it would be here, but man, their response, I've said this before in the show, so I apologize to those of you who've heard it, but their response to us being totally ambivalent and not caring about 3D all year was, great, here's more 3D!
I think it's because all of the R&D departments have put so much work and effort and time and money into it that they're like, okay, you weren't wowed a year ago, now it's cheaper.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheaper price points. There's a lot of, like, we saw several glasses-free TVs from Sharp, Sony, and Toshiba out here. Those are far, far from being really ready for mass acceptance. But they're not giving up.
They're reaffirming their commitment, they keep saying.
They have no choice. You cannot turn the Titanic in time for the amount of all-in-ness from the hardware
all-in-nicity?
Manufacturer. There's so much all-in-nicity.
I'm the one that says it's not that old because it hasn't come out yet earlier, so I can't give you too much crap.
There's so much all in this that Sony and Panasonic and Samsung are SOL on this one. They got to just buy in. And the one thing that's interesting, though, is they have not been afraid to say 3D free, glasses free. Yeah, that's where we're going. I was really hoping this would be the year that somebody surprised us, and Toshiba and Sony are definitely showing compelling glasses free options, so far from consumer. They're so far from being ready.
Yeah, we were chatting with Robert Herron yesterday just on the live stream, and he was mentioning, he's like, yeah, passive technology, you lose resolution, so that's going to bring the price down on the glasses and stuff. That's fine. Glasses free, that's not here for another 3-4 years. He's like, basically, 3D is just going to come as an option on every TV you buy, and eventually you won't be able to buy a TV without 3D, whether you want it or not.
Well, it's going to be like the companies will one-up each other, and as consumers, as I buy my next HDTV, if there's two TVs that both look great and they're the same price point, I'll just buy the one that has 3D in case I need it.
Yeah. That's what I keep saying. Ryan and I are in the market for a new TV, and we've been arguing back and forth because he's not interested in 3D. He doesn't want it. And I'm like, but all the new TVs have it. We might as well get it because then we don't have to use it. But you know,
and
I
you don't
for,
know where we'll be.
Right,
here,
right.
You
know, so. I want it for gaming purposes too, because I'm kind of into it for that. But
I decided to actually think of the TV that I just purchased as sort of a stopgap. I've had my old plasma for 7 years, and I thought, you know what? There is going to be new 3D technology within 3 or 4 years. So I kind of went middle of the road, bought 120 hertz. It was a good price, and I didn't go all in this. I didn't go all in because I felt like I'm going to have to upgrade in 4 years or so. So it's a dilemma for consumers, and that is why they are holding off, faux show.
Well, I want one of those Samsung TVs with the skinny, skinny, skinny bezel.
Oh, bezel. Oh,
boy.
It is a little weird that, like, the big innovation in HDTVs when it's not 3D is less bezel.
I know.
I love it.
Hey,
it looks like it's like just...
Did you check out our bezel?
You know, it's so pretty.
I know, it's true. It's true.
All right, before we get to our favorites and our final thoughts, I want to point out that, you know, CES is often a little bit of a check on the economy every year. Mm-hmm. I have my own taxi line index. Mm-hmm. If I don't have to wait for a cab, the economy's in the toilet. And that was true 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This year, biggest CES ever. It's
cab
booming.
Lines were
really
out of control.
Yeah, they were.
The official numbers aren't in, but the low was, I think it was 2008 was 113,000. The high was 2007, 143,000. To me, I'm agree with it. With just the feel, I think we're in the 150s.
I think when I can't remember exactly now, but I think when I talked to Gary Shapiro, the head of the CEA yesterday, he said they were expecting 160,000.
Yeah. Wow. I think when you go out on the floor, it's 3 to 4 deep at any cool exhibit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been to almost every one, and it's bonkers out here.
Yeah. And Friday is the big day. Friday is the day when you won't be able to move, and that was true yesterday. You got on the short floor, you were packed in like a sardine. So.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's go down the line and just tell me sort of, you know, any other products that we haven't mentioned yet that caught your eye, and what your favorite things were. Becky, we'll start with you.
You know, I think we've talked about a lot of things. I mean, I love the Katara guitar. It's a digital guitar, and I always love the wonky things. So, I should be the kicker, but, you know, I'll start with that because it's a product I didn't know needed innovation. Like, we have the acoustic guitar, we have the electric guitar. Do we really need a digital guitar? But it was absolutely fascinating to see what you could do with the music. And if you like Enya, you're stoked. Because it was like Enya's new rocking out guitar.
If you like Enya, you'll love the Katara guitar.
After I played it for a while, I really wanted a massage. I was kind of excited about that. Gave me that holistic feeling.
And overall on CES, you think it was fun, innovative, weird, strange?
You know, as a consumer advocate, I think this show is great. What I saw was a lot less ridiculously priced, out of control fantasy technology and a lot of functional, cool, it'll be in my pocket in the next 6 to 12 months gear. Well, and that's cool.
I think that's a function of the bad economy for 2 years, mm-hmm. because people were not willing to pour a bunch of R&D into risky stuff, and so we're seeing the fruits of that now.
Yeah.
Veronica, what about you? What caught your eye?
It's not too revolutionary, but I really love the Creative Omega wireless gaming headset. It works on any console, Mac or PC, so Xbox 360, PS3, Mac PC, like I said. I don't know if it works on the Wii. I didn't ask them about that, but it probably will. And it's just really comfortable. It's wireless. You have all the customization features that we had in the WoW headset that we both also have. And I don't know, it's, you know, having a good headset where you can talk to your friends and, you know, wear around the house without being tethered is a really nice thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the show for you, did you think it was a good show, normal show?
It was a good show. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't blown away by innovation yet, really, actually, unlike you guys, I guess. But maybe I just didn't see enough new stuff. I mean, I was kind of very focused on getting the videos we needed for Texhill, and I didn't have a lot of time to walk around and check out some of the
more secreted stuff. Well, it's such a big show, it's hard to keep track of it. Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to be reading up on the reviews on like Engadget and that kind of thing to see what I missed. But it was a good year, though. I had a lot of fun.
Sarah, what about you? Anything particular trip your trigger?
A couple things. I mean, I didn't have anything nice to say yesterday about Polaroid because they told me to go read the press release when I asked to get my hands on the Lady Gaga glasses. But I really like, despite the silly name,
cool. I saw those.
The Zinc little photo printer.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. I mean, even though it's I don't know, it's if you're into photos, and I really am, and I love the whole digital photo and coming up with creative uses for that. So I liked that. I also really liked Sony's Pandora car stereo that we saw yesterday that had the little flip-out tray where you could actually hide your iPhone inside and not have it sort of dangling out with a wire. That was cool.
That's cool. What about you, Tom?
Well, overall, I thought the show was rather average. Nothing big this year. We say it every year at CES. There doesn't seem to be anything huge. But really, this year there was nothing. If the best thing that I saw was that laptop dock, I think that's saying something. Like there was really no big product that blew me away.
That was a really cool design thing that we haven't really seen too much before.
But it's funny,
so that was different.
And you and I are saying the same thing. I'm saying, they get what consumers need. They're with consumers in the present.
But
you're saying, I want to see the future. I want to be wowed.
Well, no, I'm not saying I want to be wowed. I'm saying there was nothing that wowed me. And
you don't want to be wowed.
Tom,
and if we're going to spend,
not want to be wowed.
If we're going to spend this much time and energy coming to CES,
that's,
maybe I do want to be a little
that's
wowed.
That's something that when I'm at a, you know, it's, we call them booths, but usually they're like art installations.
Yeah, right.
In some of
they're
the bigger
small
booths.
Towns.
And it's like, I noticed that at all of the booths that don't wow me, I go, what a colossal waste of money. You know, it's very easy to look around, especially since we all work in production,
yeah.
to look and go, wow, they put a lot of money and effort into this. For what?
Actually, I guess what my reaction to you saying you want to be wowed is I don't want to be impressed by flash and dazzle and just, you know, bright lights and nifty pitches. I want to see something that's new. I want to see something mm-hmm. that hasn't been thought of before. And it could be a sling box. It could be a TiVo. It doesn't have to be, you know, the future. It's just something that is innovative and works and hasn't been thought of before and is going to make our lives easier. I didn't see anything like that.
Listen up, CES. No glitz or glamour next year.
Yeah. Turn down the lights.
Simple booze.
Turn down the noise.
Products.
I'm trying to
Tom
get some rest.
I don't want
to
be wowed.
I was staying right next door. The noise was keeping me up at night.
Oh, Grandpa.
Can you turn your trade show down?
Hey, you know what? I've got your Rascal parked right over there so you can see the whole floor just on your little motorcycle
Excellent.
Thing.
The Razer Switchblade was pretty impressive. Did you see that, Veronica?
No, I didn't make it over to Razer, and I'm really bummed because I love their products.
They have a modified netbook that runs WoW.
I heard about that.
And has programmable keys similar to the old Optimus keyboard mm-hmm. so that all of your gaming keys can be programmed and you can just hit everything right there. And it had a touchscreen.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, on a smaller side, the Wowie audio extension. It was a little speaker that you plug into your phone or your music player like mm-hmm. your Zune or your iPod. And it has proprietary gel inside that when you set it on a surface, uses that surface as a bass amplifier.
Oh, that's cool.
And it really worked. I mean, when you it was sort of a tinny sound holding it in your hand, and then you'd set it down, and all of a sudden it would fill out. And I said yesterday, it's like, it was as good as a Bose speaker. And somebody wrote me this long note about how Bose speakers suck. That's not a good way to put it. And I wrote back, I was like, no, I hold to that, which is like, yeah, Bose speakers aren't great. But for a little tinny, you know,
made by a toy company.
Wowie, that's not it, actually. That's a Pico projector.
Close, though. Good try, Jason.
Jason's like always so rocket on that. I feel bad even pointing that out, but I just didn't want people to get confused.
Dial down the estrogen, Tom. You can give him the business. It's
but
okay.
For the, you know, for a little tinny speaker like that to sound like, you know, a Bose sound system, I think is actually impressive for the little tinny speaker.
Yeah.
So check that out. Wowie Audio.
That's cool.
I thought they were pretty good.
Wowie1.com.
Let's take another quick break and thank our sponsor, Squarespace, at squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. Veronica and I use it on the Sword and Laser.
We do.
Go check out swordandlaser.com and subscribe, but also look at the fact that it is,
nice.
In fact, a Squarespace blog. That's what you can do with it. You don't have to know any CSS. You can go in and choose modules. You can import your blog, do all that kind of thing. It's a great situation to be in if you want to start a blog quick. In fact, if you want to start a blog, you know, dial down the estrogen.squarespace.com. You could go start it right now for free. Try it out, squarespace.com. Put a picture of Becky on there pointing at you. And boom, you'd have a website like that. And if it got really popular, it would be able to handle all that popularity because they adjust the bandwidth as you go. So check it out. Go to squarespace.com. Use the offer code TWIT when you buy your service, if you decide to keep it, and you will get 10% off the lifetime of your account. Eileen just brought this over. Here is the Wowie external
Whoa.
Speaker.
Oh, cool.
So it's just this big, right? And it's got this sort of gel on the bottom as well as inside. So when you plug it in, do you actually have a cable?
Yeah.
And when you plug it in and you set it down, it does that that bass thing.
That bass thing.
Do you have something pretty bassy?
Oh yeah, I'm sure I've got some wicked Hawaiian music on here or something.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Let her rip.
All right, let's see what we got.
You could also start hurry up and plug it in becky.squarespace.com.
That doesn't sound right, Tom. Retract.
Okay. Subheader, give him the business.
You're not going to be able to hear this very well, but maybe you guys will be able to tell if you take. Oh, it doesn't work on this table because of the tablecloth.
Hmm. Oh, I hear it. Want me to work on my computer?
Yeah, works better on some surfaces than others.
I feel it too.
I feel it more than I hear it, actually.
I wonder if they can hear it in the the vibration in the microphones at all?
Yeah, probably not.
No, probably
donk,
not.
Donk, donk, donk.
This is what they mean by bass in your face.
In your face.
In your face.
Oh my.
Doesn't work with your cheek either.
I feel like I'm riding in a very low automobile with two large speakers in the back seat.
God, I'm so not.
I know.
I should just stop. I should just really
all right.
Stop.
Or ironic,
no.
I think this is kind of cool.
Dancer.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Or something.
My shoulders
something.
Are sore.
Definitely something. Yeah.
A little massage.
Stop the insanity.
All right. Let's start the news views instead.
Thank you very much.
Slingbox is announcing an app for Google TV. Instead of having the Sling hardware attached to your television, the Sling app and the Google TV box ports your video to a website. No app pricing or release date, but sometime this year is what they're saying.
News from Nintendo. The new Nintendo 3DS has a fairly limited battery life, just 3 to 8 hours of playtime per charge, and that's a third the battery life of the standard def DS, which boasts 10 to 14 hours, and the DS Lite, which gets a whopping 15 to 19 hours. I got to look at the thing. The 3D is awesome, but that's definitely an impediment to play.
Yeah, that and anyone under 6 can't play it.
Right, which is who it's aimed at.
News from the iOS store. Apple has removed VLC Media Player from the App Store, putting an end to the controversy over Apple's insistence to impose DRM on the open-sourced app. The iTunes page for VLC Media Player has just pretty much stopped working. VLC developer Remy Denis Coumont notes that he's... I just went to France, so I'm really good at this. Not going to pity the owners of iDevices... I'm not even going to pity the mobile VLC developers who doubtlessly wasted a lot of their time. This end should not have come as a surprise to anyone.
Bummer, man.
Sounds like somebody's just fed up.
Yeah. Why Wireless TV is a wireless HDMI transmitter that allows you to stream 1080p video from most any source over 802.11n Wi-Fi to multiple displays, as long as said displays are connected to a My Wireless TV adapter. The system works using Cavium Network's WiVu technology, which is a video streaming protocol that is fully compatible with H.264 encoding, HDCP 2.0 encryption, Dolby Surround sound, and can stream 3D video.
A U.S. Patent and Trade Office filing made public on Thursday reveals that Microsoft is seeking a patent for something it calls one-way public relationships in social networks and other online properties.
Isn't that what they already do?
Lawyers speak for what's known as a fan.
Okay.
It's unclear whether this is a goof of some sort, maybe a parody of Apple, but Microsoft curiously used the example of a U2 fan named Steve to explain its invention to the USPTO.
Thanks, Steve.
Weird. So weird. NEC introduced the LT-W cloud communicator. It's a slate with dual touchscreens that unfolds like a book and runs Android 2.1. NEC reps told PC Magazine that the tablet would be first introduced in Japan, probably in the next 6 months, but no current formal plans to take it anywhere else.
Droid owners might be familiar with the term Droid Does, but you know what else Droid does? It stops bullets from killing you.
That's nice.
John Garber was exiting Club Halo in Atlanta, sounds like a fun place, where he works as a valet, where he suddenly became caught in a hail of gunfire. Two patrons who had been thrown out of the establishment got into an argument outside the club, ultimately led to a short shootout, and Mr. Garber was struck in the chest by a bullet, which penetrated his coat, but ultimately stopped by the battery of his HTC Droid. Incredible.
An incredible story.
Very incredible.
He says he's going to lives up to its name.
He's never going to use any other phone.
He's a droid user
For life.
I bet, yeah.
I mean, he has to be. Yeah. If a droid saved my life, I'd be like,
totally.
I'm never going to switch.
I might feel the same
never
way.
Never going to switch. Mm-hmm. It's meant to be.
And then finally, Hanvon's 10-inch color touchscreen e-reader will be released in March 2011 exclusively in China. There are currently no companies that have publicly committed to using the new technology for readers in the U.S., so this is currently the only way consumers will be able to see color e-ink.
All right, we want to mention really quickly that all of TWIT CES coverage from the show floor is being produced and streamed live on a new TriCaster from NewTek, the TCX-D850. Places the capabilities of a television studio or a live production truck into a versatile 22-channel 4U rack mount system designed to meet the most demanding high-definition production requirements, which is pretty much what we're trying to throw at it here at the Consumer Electronics Show. If you want more information, you can visit NewTek, that's N-E-W-T-E-K, com.
Yeah, there's broadcasting in Afghanistan, and then there's this.
Yeah.
And they're, I'd say, commensurate.
Yeah. This is safer.
Yeah, true.
But,
sort of.
But almost as stressful.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, we We haven't gotten a ton of email this week. I think everybody knows we're busy, but we want to hear from you. We have gotten a couple of cool tweets. This one came to me. And yesterday we were talking about the idea of this ecosystem and exactly what Veronica was referring to, where, you know, you flick video from one device to another and you watch it, especially video, in a format that is best for the video and for you at that time. So you could flick it from your tablet to your TV or from your phone to your tablet. And Bobby World on Twitter said, currently my Fios mobile remote Android app can flick photos to my TV. So, you know, that's a pretty cool use of it, and I didn't know that the Fios app could do that. So you can reach, that's, you know, we take the emails, we take the tweets. I'm at B. Worley, at Veronica, mm-hmm. at Sarah Lane,
mm-hmm.
and Ace D, the letter D, Tect, T-E-C-T, on Twitter.
Steven3X says, my votes for the best of CES, Pixel Optics, the glasses that
M-Power.
Actually change your bifocals inside the glass,
oh, yeah,
so you don't have to have two pieces of glass.
Cool. It's amazing.
He said the XI3 modules, the Acer Iconia, the GM Envy, that little dart about a little bubble.
150 centimeter long car.
The Kno, the K-N-O, and Samsung's 8000 series TVs. Thanks for that, Steven.
Appreciate it.
All right, well, that's it for our CES coverage. Folks, you should know, no tech news today on Monday. We'll all be passed out, but we will be back on Tuesday with regular episodes at the regular time, live and also in the feed. But really appreciate everybody watching, and I hope you enjoyed the coverage here from CES. It was really fun. Twit's not over. If you're watching the live stream, we're going to have specials with Leo Laporte. We're going to have a special edition of The Tech Guy. He's going to give out his CES awards. I don't know what he's decided to name them yet. The Sofa Awards, the Twitsies, who knows? Tune in and find out. And then The Tech Guy on Sunday. So the CES coverage definitely continues all through the weekend. Veronica, thank you so much for coming and helping us wrap this up.
Thank you for having me.
And let folks know where they can find your CES coverage and the other things you do.
Techzilla.com/CES has all our videos. Or if you're more of a YouTube person, youtube.com/TechHD.
Sarah, Becky, thank you.
I'm going to see you a little later for Twit, so yeah. This isn't goodbye.
This is
just we're going to go get more coffee.
More
exactly.
Coffee. Thank you, yes.
Eileen, Burke, Jason, Chad, Brian, Ken.
Steven 3X.
Everybody who has put this together. It's a gargantuan effort, and we can't express our appreciation enough. Thank you guys for watching. Twit.tv/TNT is the website. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call. We'll be getting back to the voicemails on Tuesday, 260-TNT show. Goodbye from Las Vegas.
See you in a little bit.
Dong, chicka, chicka, dong, chicka, dong.
Ha 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 ha!